What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey pinch hitting for the guys here on a Monday. Thanks so much for finding us. Hope you had a happy 4th of July weekend. I know I did. It was awesome around here. Great time. Austin Bechtold producing. He did as well. Let's go out to the fan hotline. Continuing the Steelers talk as we find Brooke Pryor in North Carolina, I believe. Back home a little bit. Brooke, how are you?
I am great. And if you hear heavy breathing, it's because my doodle, Hootie, is very needy and decided to sit right down in front of me and breathe in my face because it's his world and we're just living in it and we just serve to pet him at all times.
Yes. What kind of doodle?
He is a golden doodle.
All
and
right.
a lot of chaos. He is a chaos doodle.
How
really
old?
He is, oh gosh, he's six.
Oh, man.
And yesterday he ate a pack of tortillas off the counter. So doing all the doodle things.
We have a labradoodle as well, a young lady named Macy, and she is a bundle of energy and awesome. But they're, oh my God, they're incredible dogs. I love them so much. They're great.
Nope. They're the best, except when, you know, they decide to eat your groceries that have been sitting there for, you know, a week and just out of the blue decides that that's the day that they would like to explore the counter, do a little counter surfing. You know, it's very
to be fair, Brooke, it's your fault for putting it there. It's your fault for putting
true.
It where Hootie could get it. Just saying.
Every time I think I've put it somewhere that they can't get it, that he can't get it, he finds a way. He's very determined.
All right, let's talk a little bit about actual stuff. Over the weekend, one of your coworkers, Jeremy Fowler, was talking about TJ Watt, some updates there. You know, saying that he does expect something to get done. Maybe it takes a little bit longer. The sticking point is guaranteed money, all that stuff. Does that kind of track along with what you've heard, and do you still expect something to get done with TJ as well?
Yeah, that's the same thing that I've been hearing, and I'm with him on the timeline and where this ends up. I mean, it feels like it's the same song and dance with the Steelers and specifically with TJ Watt in each of the last two times that we've gone through this, that guaranteed money is the biggest thing that Watt's looking for, which makes sense, and especially in the direction that NFL contracts are going. Obviously, the full guaranteed money is not a thing that's been done since Deshaun Watson, and it's nothing like that. It's nothing like, yeah, you know, trying to get full guaranteed money like a Deshaun Watson contract or something. But yeah, this is the way that these negotiations are going, that TJ Watt wants more guaranteed money than the Steelers are currently trying to offer him. And this is a negotiation that will get done when it gets done. I still think it does happen, but you know, it's going to drag on probably into training camp the way that it has the last time.
Do you think it mirrors the last time, Brooke, when it comes to a hold in? Like, will we see TJ Watt in Latrobe working off to the side? Will he stay home? How do you think this affects his presence with the Steelers, if at all?
You know, I think that I'm not sure about, because to me it was a pretty significant sign that he didn't go to minicamp. That to me says that was more significant than anything he did the last time they went through these negotiations. But that was also a different time coming off of COVID. I would not be surprised either way. I think if he does attend things, if he does show up in Latrobe, I wouldn't expect to see him out there during team periods. I would think it would be more of a hold in. I don't think that he would practice without a contract, but I think it also kind of depends on how negotiations are going. If they're still as contentious as they appear to be at minicamp, it wouldn't shock me if he's not there on day one.
Now, we talked about guaranteed money, Brooke. What about yearly? Because I think that's, I'll admit I'm guilty of that. I look at the $40 million and think like that's the number they have to beat. And you're telling me, and other sensible people are telling me, it's more guaranteed money. I certainly understand that. But when you look at the yearly number, is there somewhere where like a range that you expect that to maybe fall?
You know, I don't have an expected range. I think that, you know, he would obviously like to be paid more than Myles Garrett, like you mentioned. And I think that in a lot of ways, it's a point of pride. You want to say that you are the highest paid player at your position. And certainly TJ Watt's accolades and the way that he has willed this team to winning seasons when they probably wouldn't have gotten there otherwise certainly commands a big payday. But I think at the end of the day, to me, guaranteed money would seem to be more important than the average yearly value, because that's, you know, the real money that you're making, versus, you know, a number that can be kind of massaged and moved around as, you know, cap hits change and the salary cap increases, things like that over the years. So I think that guaranteed money is the most important thing rather than the average annual value.
Pomp and Joe Show, Jason Mackey filling in for the guys. We're chatting with Brooke Pryor from ESPN. Of course, read her stuff at ESPN.com, and you can follow her on Twitter or X at B.E. Pryor. Transitioning away from the T.J. Watt stuff a little bit, Brooke, I haven't had a chance to catch up with you since the Steelers made the biggest trade that I can remember them making in a fairly long time. Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith in, Minka Fitzpatrick out. Did that catch you by surprise? And what do you think that says about how they see themselves?
Yeah, it definitely caught me by surprise. I was teeing off on number 11 at a golf course down at the beach. And suddenly just got frowny faces for the next couple of holes because I did not play and I let my husband keep playing. He drove the golf cart as I, you know, tried to work the phones and get a story up. To me, I was surprised, especially because Minka Fitzpatrick has been such a cornerstone of the defense, does, you know, everything that the Steelers want out of him. He's the kind of guy that Mike Tomlin really loves. We obviously know that based on the fact they went out and traded a first round pick for him in 2019. But to me, I was talking with a defensive coordinator who's not on the Steelers staff. And I said, you know, I am just a little bit confused by this. Like, do you think that it means that they want to move Jalen Ramsey to safety? And he told me not necessarily. He said you can never have too many good corners. I think that, you know, we're forgetting about Juan Thornhill in all of this. I also think that we're going to see a lot of Jalen Ramsey and Deshaun Elliott and Joey Porter Jr. and Darius Slay, all of them out on the field at the same time. I think we're going to see a lot of sub packages. I think that, you know, for as much flexibility as Minka Fitzpatrick has, I think that Jalen Ramsey has the potential to have more just because he can be a corner, a nickel, maybe even a safety in some packages. To me, you know, it is an interesting move. I think that they just see the production that Jalen Ramsey has had versus, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick didn't do that the last couple of seasons. And it's kind of a what have you done for me lately and how can we adapt this scheme to highlight a guy like Jalen Ramsey? I think that, you know, they're trying to shake things up. They are trying to, I said all in when the trade first happened. And I don't necessarily mean that they are all in to win a Super Bowl. Obviously, that's the goal every year. To me, it's more about trying to get over this playoff hump, to try to win a playoff game. And I know that for an organization that wants to get back to winning Super Bowl trophies and adding to that trophy case, winning a playoff game feels like it's, you know, shooting pretty low. But when you consider how long it's been since there's been a playoff win, you need to get over that hump to have a realistic shot at winning a Super Bowl. At this point, it feels like it's as much a mental block as it is a physical obstacle. So that's what I'm seeing out of these moves. we'll see if it pays off. It is certainly a gamble, but I like it. It shakes things up. It gives us more things to talk about than, you know, a contract negotiation.
Brooke, as somebody is in my second Steelers offseason as a columnist, I could not be more grateful for the amount of stories that they generate, columns that they give us. My goodness. Maybe as a beat writer, you don't feel the same way, but do I enjoy it. It's like manna from heaven every other week. Jonnu Smith specifically, how do you see him fitting into the offense? Because, I mean, they're obviously going to utilize him, right? Like, they're paying him. They're going to put him in situations to succeed. You're not going to ignore Pat Freiermuth. Darnell Washington has come along, you know, very nice blocker, all these things. Balancing these targets, these reps, these snaps, all that stuff. How do you see that working out?
Well, I think that Arthur Smith is in heaven right now. This is the Arthur Smith move. I think that he's going to be a Swiss Army knife type of weapon. I don't want to necessarily say tight end three behind, you know, Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington, because he is being paid to be more than a tight end three. But I think he can do a little bit of everything. In some ways, do the things that we've said that Connor Hayward could do in terms of being a fullback, maybe being a receiver, being an undersized tight end. I think that that is Jonnu Smith times 1,000.
Yeah.
I think that he has a much, much higher ceiling than Connor Hayward. And, you know, I think that that to me would, I'd be a little bit nervous if I were in Connor Hayward's shoes right now, because there's, you know, only so many roster spots. That's someone that I'm going to be watching during camp. But I do think that Jonnu Smith adds a lot with his versatility. I still think that this is a team that needs a wide receiver too on the roster. Maybe that's Gabe Davis. I know that the coaching staff has said that Calvin Austin is that guy, but I still think they need one more receiver. Jonnu Smith is not a one for one there. Oh, you know, we landed this guy, therefore we don't need this other position. I don't think that he fills that need. I think that he was kind of an offensive luxury add, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't need to do it or that it was a bad move. Sometimes these luxury moves are what takes a team from just making the playoffs to going deeper.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, Brooke, and you started down the road of the question I was going to ask you. What's the higher priority? Like, I can look at their team and think they should add at safety, maybe just a little bit of an insurance behind Juan Thornhill. I can look at their team and say they should add a wide receiver, a true wide receiver too. Maybe that's Gabe Davis. If you had to rank them in order of priority for this team, what would they be?
Oh, that is tough, because it really does feel like a 1A, 1B
it does.
Situation.
My answer would be both, but I don't know if you had a passionate feeling like one is a really glaring need over the other.
I can talk my way into either one. I think I'm edging toward safety, because that position group as a whole, just looking at the defensive backs, they are an older group. Juan Thornhill has had injury issues in the past. They have had injuries with their secondary in as many of the most recent seasons that I can remember, whether that's corners getting hurt, safeties getting hurt, and having to get creative. So I think it makes more sense for them, if they had to prioritize one over the other, adding another safety, even if, you know, they're not necessarily using Juan Thornhill a ton in base or using that a true free safety position like that. I still think that that's something that you want later in the season. And I think that based on how they want to run this offense, that wide receiver two isn't as important as adding another safety, but it is really close in my mind.
Last question for Brooke Pryor from ESPN. Again, you can follow Brooke on Twitter or X at BE Pryor. Brooke, we were talking before about Aaron Rodgers and what are some reasonable expectations. I would like to see the Steelers allow Aaron Rodgers to be Aaron Rodgers, audible at the line of scrimmage, do his thing. I'm not saying, you know, uncork it 60 times a game or something like that. But when you look at how the Steelers can best configure their offense to take advantage of Aaron Rodgers, what does that look like for you?
I think it's got to be a compromise, right? Like, let Aaron Rodgers be Aaron Rodgers. Don't keep the training wheels on him. Allow him to audible, things like that. But there's also got to be a buy-in from Rodgers to allow this team to have a strong run game. Because when he was in Green Bay and when he was with the Jets, they did not have great run games, or at least dominant run games. That's not how an Arthur Smith offense works. That's not how the Steelers work. I think that you've got to kind of check your ego a little bit. Like you said, don't uncork it 60 times a game. I think that if Aaron Rodgers buys into having a balanced offense, to me, that's a best case scenario. Give him the freedom to make the calls at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't need to go full cowboy gunslinger, draw up plays in the dirt like Ben in his last couple seasons. But I think that, you know, you've got to build trust on both ends there. And I think if he can do that, this is going to be a good offense. But, you know, use your run game, use your tight ends, use the middle of the field, which I feel like I said a million times last season got way underutilized. They can do those things. I think that this is an offense that scores more points than last year, which has been a priority in building the offense and in adding some different pieces, because as we know, it's been a big offensive drought the last two seasons in Pittsburgh.
Brooke Pryor, thanks so much, Brooke. Have a great rest of your day. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. This is Brooke Pryor from ESPN. Does an awesome job covering the Steelers. Read her work, of course, at ESPN.com. Follow her on Twitter or X at BE Pryor. A lot to go through in Brooke's comments. I'll do that in just a second. I first want to remind you, Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan text lines brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The biggest thing that piqued my interest there, and there was a lot, it's always great stuff with Brooke, she's a fantastic guest, but was the utilization of Jalen Ramsey. And Brooke said, they don't be surprised if you see a lot of three cornerback sets, sub packages. I like that a lot. Now, that does increase the importance for me on safety, and I'd probably like to see them go get somebody else. I don't have anything against Juan Thornhill, but he has had a bit of a problem staying healthy. And if you go beyond Juan Thornhill, I'm not sure who the Steelers have that they can put back there that I'd feel great about. But if you're telling me you're going to play Jalen Ramsey in the slot a lot, great. He's done that before. I think he can be a weapon. Gives you some versatility, match up different ways. You're in a division with the Bengals and they're two big dogs out wide. You have means to cover them. And I like the trade because the Steelers took a position that I think was either lacking some depth or lacking a lot of depth, depending on how much you want to analyze it, and they made it stronger. And yeah, some is going to fall on Terrell Austin to properly utilize Jalen Ramsey. I don't think they were getting enough production out of Minkah Fitzpatrick. That's probably an obvious statement. But now they have some stuff to play with. They have a different way of doing things. Three cornerbacks, cool. But they need to make good use of it. They need to do the same thing with Jonnu Smith. The third tight end stuff, I mean, he's the third tight end because he's, I don't know, the newest tight end, but he's not going to be treated like a number three tight end. No way, shape, or form. I just don't see how that makes sense.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Yeah, I would say every time I show up to the field, I look at the field and think, man, it could be cool to be playing in front of a huge crowd in PNC Park one day. It kind of crosses my mind a lot. Mm. Hopefully that will be soon. And, I just got to stick to the plan and take it day by day. And, I put all my trust in God. And I know that, my path is perfect in His eyes. And, I'm going to just continue to work my tail off to get there. And hopefully that can be soon.
Pompa Joe Show, Jason Mackey in for the guys. Austin Bechtold producing one final segment for our time together. That was Connor Griffin, Pirates prospect, joining me on the Fan Evening Show last week to talk a little bit about what's gone right for him, a promotion to High A Greensboro. He has continued to hit the cover off the ball, has looked very good, dominated Low A. It's been basically a year since the Pirates drafted Connor Griffin, and a lot has changed. I want to get into some of those thoughts. We're going to wrap up our Steelers segment. Some have additional thoughts with Brooke Pryor's joining us in her appearance. Thank you very much to Brooke for doing that. But I wanted to not miss the Connor Griffin topic here. This is something I wrote about at postgazette.com and something I feel strongly about with Connor. And, it's, I guess, an inconvenient truth. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but the Pirates have obviously been criticized by me and others for their lack of draft success. Connor Griffin is an outlier. He's the rare position player prospect who is exciting. He's almost on that Paul Skeens sort of trajectory. He's a lot like Paul Skeens. He was an LSU commit. I talked to Connor last week about an event they had at LSU when he was still committed there, where it was a bunch of LSU commits and Paul Skeens and other people on the college team talked to those recruits about their process. Connor Griffin and Skeens have become pretty good friends. They'll both go to Atlanta. Skeens, obviously, for the MLB All-Star Game, very likely could be starting for the National League. Connor Griffin will be there for the All-Star Futures Game, something he said was a goal. But we should probably have a bigger conversation relative to Connor Griffin. Now, he made one bump up in competition this year, again, going from low A to high A. I would hope and think that he's not done. I'd like to see the Pirates get this kid to double A at some point. It would make a lot of sense. If he keeps showing that he's able to handle high A, I don't understand why you would keep him there. I'm not saying rush him haphazardly. Obviously, if he's not producing, there's nothing at all wrong with that. He's only 19 years old, still very young, but he's a very talented kid. He's well put together physically, mentally, knows what he's doing. Baseball America has him now ranked as the number two prospect in all of baseball. MLB Pipeline, I believe, has him 13th. That's up pretty significantly from the start of the year. If you look at his tools and how they sort of assign rankings to them, again, on a 20 to 80 scale, power-wise, MLB Pipeline has him at a 60 grade, running 65, arm 70, fielding 60, and his hit tool a 50, which I still think is kind of low, an overall prospect grade of 60. This was a very good pick by the Pirates. It has panned out. Connor Griffin has been outstanding, but his trajectory is worth talking about because of stuff we've seen in Major League Baseball with other kids his age. It wasn't long ago the Milwaukee Brewers threw a bunch of money, at least relatively speaking, at a kid named Jackson Chourio. You've probably heard that name mentioned. And they did that whenever he was in Double A. And it's basically betting on upside, betting on makeup, saying this kid's going to be worth the money, and you get out earlier in front of that deal. It's maybe something you could argue the Pirates should have done with Paul Skeens before he ever pitched an inning in the major leagues, to bet on him and use that as a way to buy out a year or two of free agency, to have him for longer. You have these arbitration numbers that Skeens in a couple years is going to go through arbitration for the first time. He's going to get a really nice raise. And he could conceivably price himself out of Pittsburgh. We'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if his arbitration award ends up being unprecedented, if not very, very high. A way to avoid that is to strike now. And you probably don't want to award a bunch of money to somebody in high A just because guys have strong starts to their major league career, and maybe they're just, you know, maybe Connor Griffin belongs in Double A. And that's okay. But I want to find out what he can handle. I want to use this opportunity to test him as much as possible. I think the futures game is a great opportunity for a little bit more competition. But if you look at other people from his draft, man, Connor Griffin is dusting the competition. And I see why. I remember when they took him. It was all college kid, college kid, college kid, college kid. Connor Griffin was the first high schooler off the board. All of a sudden, we're looking at his draft class, and he's one of the best prospects anywhere. He's at the top of his class. Very, very mature for his age. He's not following the trajectory of a typical high school kid. So why treat him like one? Bring him up here. And I'm not saying, you know, bring him to Pittsburgh tomorrow. I'm saying, like, let's continue to accelerate this process because it might be in the Pirates' best interest. We spent an early portion of the show talking about what they need. They need offense. Well, here's a reasonable way to add it. You have some of it in your system. Challenge this kid, and if you can get out in front of this and maybe give him some money, extend him, make a deal that makes sense. They love efficient spending on homegrown products. Connor Griffin scratches all of those itches. Really, really impressive player. I don't know if I expect the Pirates to do that, but I'd certainly like to see them entertain it. What say you, Limits?
I would be completely fine with, one, moving him up to Double A right now. I mean, think about this, Jason. Over the weekend, Griffin stole his 40th base on the season.
Oh, my gosh.
26 in A ball, 14 in high A. Overall this season, he's hitting .333, 13 bombs, 53 RBIs. Strikeout numbers aren't even that bad. I mean, 75 isn't great compared to 27 walks. That would be maybe the one thing he strikes out like once per game that he can improve on for me. But he drives the ball well. He's got some pop, 16 doubles on the year. I would consider extending him next year. I would consider something we were talking about off air a little bit too, a Jackson Churio type of contract, or I don't know if Bobby Witt's the right example. That guy's an MVP candidate year after year for the Royals. But basically a deal where you approach the player, whether they're in AAA or they just make their debut, and you get the deal done ASAP before you know that this player's a star at the major league level, because it seems like he's trending in that direction.
Yeah, and they waited with Skeens, which I sort of understand. I mean, if you look at a lot of those deals, get him done early, get him extended, even Polanco, that was a version of it. It wasn't to the extreme that I'd maybe like to see them do with Connor Griffin. You don't see it happen for pitchers often, but position players, it's a little bit more typical. You can expect and project what they're going to do, and Connor Griffin has shown a proclivity to produce. And I agree with you. I would challenge him, get him to Double A. I want to get that sort of information. And if I get a pretty good sample size at Double A, I'm going to feel good about that. Now, part of promoting him, or part of extending him and promoting him, you're probably going to have to put him on the major league club.
Right. Yeah.
I want to see a little bit more first. And I think that's why you're saying preach a little bit of patience with when you do it. But I'd still be thinking about it now. I would.
That's why I would do it next year. Because I think if he goes up to Double A and he hits really well in Double A, do you send him there for a month, and then by the time June rolls around, he's in Triple A, then you're talking about Connor Griffin knocking on the door right around the All-Star break next year, potentially. And that one helps you with Super 2. That two helps you if you're the Pirates and, oh, well, we want him to succeed, but the double-edged sword, if we don't want him to win the Rookie of the Year and lose a year of service time, well, if you extend him, you don't have to worry about that. It could change their mindset if they get the deal done of when they would even call Connor Griffin up if he continues to rake.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll see. There's a lot happening with the Pirates, not necessarily on the field with the Major League team, but on the periphery with a lot of trade deadline speculation, draft coming up, they'll take another player. What happens with Connor Griffin, etc. We put out a question earlier in the show, and I'm going to loop back to it now. What do you want Ben Cherington to do? Do you want him to make a big move? Do you want the Pirates to be cautious and maybe limit what Ben Cherington can do because the trade deadline has not been that great? Do you want him to sort of hold his cards, fold his cards, maybe more of a conservative approach? Should they put a governor on him? And then if you move on from the GM in August or in the offseason, you allow that new guy to take charge and make moves or whatever. Got various responses. Limits is more in the camp of let him go, make the move. You put him in the position. If you're going to keep him in the position, allow him to do the job. I would rather see them act a little bit more conservatively. On Twitter, Dave Thomas says, don't make big moves, just trade the departing players. Another tweeter, AP, says, yep, trade Keller or Falter, Bednar or Santana, plus all players on expiring deals. Try to package players to bring back quality over quantity. Just a bunch of back and forth. I don't know if there's one consensus view on that. It is interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. Another one says Ben Cherington can only do harm, save all of our assets for the next GM. It doesn't have to be this way. That's another point I want to make. Like, it doesn't have to be the question that I'm presenting. It doesn't have to be either or. Well, it didn't have to be either or. It's probably too late in the process now. I just don't understand why we're here. I don't understand why we're having this discussion about the same guy doing the same stuff in an inefficient or ineffective way. But here we are. It's Pirates baseball. Doesn't always make sense. Might be entertaining, but it's not always easy to understand. Has your opinion changed, Limits, or are you still on the... go ahead. Do your worst, buddy.
Well, I don't know if it's do your worst. Like, I don't have a lot of faith in the guy, but I also don't think that, you know, he's incompetent. You know, like, he's should.
He's only allowed to trade for pitching, though. How about that?
Yeah, if that was the case, then,
just trade for left-handed, soft-tossing pitching.
That would be significant. The thing about me with Cherington, and I, like everyone else, would have moved on. I think that everyone, they just should have cleared house before this upcoming season anyway, especially after seeing what they did in the offseason, which was basically nothing. I feel like...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
rooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
He's going to try to save his job at this deadline and maybe make a move. I'm a little bit hesitant that he'll make a panic move. It'll be too strong of a move. But what if it's not that? What if it's Ben Cherington not overvaluing his assets as much anymore and deciding, you know what, this is a good trade. This is a fair trade. Not him basically having prospect derangement syndrome, as Joe likes to call it, and hoarding all of his guys.
Yeah.
Or in this case, some of the major league talent. Like Keller, like Bednar.
Want him to have prospect derangement syndrome. I'd rather that than like the Ben Cherington who just doesn't care. Like, you know what? I'm probably gone anyway. Let's see what happens. Screw it.
I'm not convinced that they're moving off of him. I'm just not. They should, but I'm not convinced of it. That's why I'd rather see a move be made than nothing at all. Then you go into the offseason to give him another opportunity to do nothing.
Oh, good. Oh, goody.
It's a terrible debate. Because, I mean, seriously, it is. Because
it's depressing.
We're talking about somebody who has not done anything with the hitting to be able to significantly improve this team. Spencer Horwitz is fine. Nick Gonzalez, I think, is a really good player. But we were banking on those two guys coming back and trying to save the Pirates. Like, that's what we were discussing for a while. And, look, they came back and their offense was better. But then again, here are your same problems in Seattle where the offense falls asleep. And there's nothing to show for it. And a big reason why is because they need two significant bats in this lineup to pair with struggling O'Neill Cruz and inconsistent Brian Reynolds.
This is a mess. They forgot to pack the bats to go to Seattle.
Yeah, it's a disaster, Falsey.
It's a disaster.
I don't know where they can go with this.
I know. I love it. There's Jolie. Hey, I have one more question I wanted to ask you. I didn't get a chance to in the Steelers portion of the show.
Please.
So the Steelers have done some wacky stuff this offseason, right? They've really caught our attention, some unpredictable things. Brooke Pryor talked about, you know, really trying to break the mold, or it's almost like a mental block, not winning a playoff game. I think it's, I don't want to say desperation, but it's certainly caused them to go outside their comfort zone. Where do you think this is stemming from? Do you think it's Art? Do you think it's Tomlin? Do you think it's Omar? All of the above? Like, why are the Steelers doing some wacky stuff this offseason?
I think it's the freedom that Omar Khan is allowed to have. I mean, could it be Mike Tomlin changing off of his philosophy? I don't know. Mike Tomlin seems to be pretty, the standard is the standard, by the book, this is how we do it.
I think the book has changed limits.
And I think people don't give Omar Khan enough credit, I think. Like, is the end-all be-all Mike Tomlin? Probably. But Omar Khan is definitely more of a poker player than Kevin Colbert was. He's definitely somebody that takes higher risks. Like, he's at the blackjack table going all in. Kevin, as much as, you know, how great he was here, Super Bowls and all, at the end, it was different. And the Steelers have never been that overly aggressive. Omar Khan is, maybe Andy Weidel too, they're taking a page out of the Eagles playbook where they're aggressive in the draft. They make big moves. They take big swings. A.J. Brown, big moves on defense. Like, Howie Roseman made a lot of big moves like that. Whether Saquon Barkley, you could say a similar thing with the way that Omar Khan and Andy Weidel are working, maybe so much in conjunction. But clearly, as soon as Kevin Colbert was done and Omar stepped in, that's the main difference. And I don't think Tomlin should get a lot of credit for that. Omar Khan should be given some credit, and that's why I think he got the extension that he did.
Well, I agree with a version of that, but I think Mike Tomlin is intimately involved.
He is.
I think Mike Tomlin knows the narratives out there, and I don't think Mike Tomlin's ever going to admit it. But I think Mike Tomlin is very aware of, like, the same old, we're doing the same stuff, the conservative approach, the standard may not be the standard anymore. I think this offseason is showing us a whole new version of Mike Tomlin, man. I really do. And I don't know if it's good or bad.
Well, and he's bought into Aaron Rodgers, clearly.
Like,
there's been a love affair between him and Aaron dating back years when they were nodding at each other on the sideline and Tom was calling timeouts in Green Bay.
I know.
So that's clearly a part of this, but I wonder if some of this is just Omar with the trades that he's made. Like, I think of the Claypool deal. I think of the Metcalf deal this year. They bring in Darius Slay. You could use it as – you could use the retirement home reference and for, like, Slay and maybe even Ramsey and Rodgers, and I wouldn't fault you for that. I worry that this might be a little 2011 to go back to the Eagles dream team type of thing where they brought in all these guys like Babin and Nnamdi Asamoah and these guys who were good – but then it all fell apart and they went 8-8. And that's one way that this could ultimately go. But Omar Khan has done a lot of good with some things I still question. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out, man. We were talking off the air. I can't remember a Steelers season that has had more intrigue for all kinds of levels.
No doubt.
I'm not saying intrigue because I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I think intrigue because there's a lot riding on it. And it's just... it's been so out of character for them, and I love it. And I think some of that is Omar Khan. I agree. You know, he's been a different type of poker player than Kevin Colbert. I think all executives to a degree are poker players, but he's certainly not been afraid to be aggressive. And I'm really curious to see how these moves pan out. This has been fun, man. Appreciate it. Always enjoy working together, Limits.
Likewise, and we'll see you again later this week.
Yep, we'll do it Friday. You get Pomp Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.